I don't always bring an object lesson to the pulpit with me, but I have done it today for a particular reason, as you will find out. Joy and I have three daughters, Carrie, Kristen, and Erica. Our middle daughter, Kristen, some time ago gave her mother a special gift. And I will tell you, Joy, what I'm holding here, Joy absolutely loves it. Wears it all the time. It is a jersey or a shirt. And the reason she likes it so much is because of what it says on the front. It says, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. Mark 4:38. So every once in a while, you know, my wife, she'll be walking through the house. She'll go, I'll just tell you, I'm just going to go be like Jesus. Oh, I know what that means. Well, interestingly enough, our text this morning, we get to Mark chapter 4. This is the text that it's taken from. So, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus. I would like for you to turn to the passage in Mark chapter 4 that this is based on. Mark chapter 4. Now, in this passage, Mark chapter 4, we'll actually begin at verse 35. What you need to remember is this. Contextually, Jesus has been teaching his disciples, teaching his followers the Word of God. Now he's going to let them take a test as to how well they've been listening, what they've learned. A storm is part of the curriculum. In fact, the parallel passage in Matthew says, uses a particular word that you're familiar with, a Greek word, seismos, seismic. It was a powerful, ferocious storm. Look at verse 35, and I'll read through verse 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In fact, I think the old King James says, what manner of man is this? Interesting terminology. What manner of man? You could translate it, what foreign kind of man is this? Where did he come from? In other words, what foreign kind of man, meaning what country did he come? Where is he from? He's not from here. He must be from over there. if he can control the wind and the sea, because God created those. I have five questions that I will confess I posed to myself. So I put myself in the text because I think there's some things here that I needed to learn. There's some things here that maybe all of us, especially at this past year or two, all of us have gone through enough things that we probably need to learn some things from this particular text. Question number one. Why were they afraid? Well, the answer is in verse 38. He was asleep on a pillow. So they figure he doesn't care about what's happening to them. That is exactly what our problem is too often. But here's the way we put it. I don't see why God would allow us to go through this. Or why am I going, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Stop. What we should say in a situation like that is, what I'm going through, I need to think about how God might use this in my life to glorify Him and to somehow help other people. That's what we should say. Question number two. Why should they have not been afraid? He says, you know, why are you so afraid? Well, why shouldn't they have been afraid? There are actually three reasons that I wrote down. Look at verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. He said, here's the first answer to that question. He said, we're going to the other side. They said, oh no, we're going down under. They should have listened to what he said. He said, we're going to go to the other side. Isn't that so like us? We keep looking at our circumstances and we think we're going under. No, we're going to the other side. And he will see us through and he will get us there and he will care for us. And I wrote at the top of my Bible some years ago, God's commandments are always God's enablements. If he gives us a command and he tells us this is what he's going to do, he will do it. He will enable it to happen. We can trust him in that. The second reason why they should not have been afraid. First, he had promised they were going to go to the other side. Secondly, the Lord himself was with them. He was in the same boat. I mean, they had seen his power over demons. They had seen his ability to work miracles. Have we forgotten that the Word of God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, says the Lord. That means he will never leave us or ever forsake us. And why is it that I sometimes think I'm alone, or he doesn't care, or where's the Lord in this? Where's the Lord in this? He's right there with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus said just before he went back to heaven. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with us. And third reason that they should not have been afraid, they could see that he was at perfect peace in the midst of the storm. Sometimes if these things are right there in the text and it's like, oh, I didn't see that. He's sleeping. He's at perfect peace. How did he do that? Did not Jesus know that the storm was coming? Of course he knew the storm was coming. He knows everything. He knew the storm was coming. He was at perfect peace. And I want you to box this in your mind and take this home with you. Jesus was living in his Father's perfect will. So, he knew that his Father would take care of him, so he took a nap. If I am doing the perfect will of God as best I know how, if I am obeying God, being faithful to Him, trying to follow the Word of God, if I can say that to myself, then I should be able to trust my Father to take care of me because I'm trying to do His perfect will. If I was disobedient, that'd be a different deal. So here's Jesus living, doing His Father's perfect will, so He's at total peace in the midst of the storm, knowing that His Father will care for Him. So He took a nap. So why is it that we cry out, Lord, do you not care? Of course He cares. Here's the third question. Did this storm come upon them because they were disobedient? Now, if you think about storms, I have categorized them after searching through the scriptures this way. I think there are three kinds of storms that come to us. Sometimes we cause our own storms. Shame on us. And then we wonder why we face the consequences. That's different. Sometimes we bring the storms on by our disobedience. But then there's another kind of storm that comes. Sometimes other people put us into storms. You say, yeah, and you name somebody or you name a family member or whatever. Yeah, they sure have put us into a storm. No question about it. But sometimes God brings storms into our lives because He wants us to learn to trust Him. And He is with us through the storm. So sometimes it isn't my disobedience. It's not somebody else that caused it. I'm going through a particular, what I consider to be a problem or a trial or a test, some issue, and I need to be able to step back and say to myself, okay, as best I know, I'm being obedient to God. Nobody else caused this, but here's the circumstance I face. Thank you, Lord, because you're going to teach me to trust you when it's difficult. But you'll be with me. Question number four. What did Jesus say was their real problem? The wind? No. The raging sea? Was that their problem? Oh, no. He will be with us through the storms. The world is a raging sea. That's not the problem. We think it is the problem, maybe. But the problem is, and remember, Jesus already knows where we're living. Hello, Jesus knows where I'm living. I'm in this world. He knows how bad it is, how wicked it is. He knows what a raging sea it is. He lived here. He went through everything in manifold ways than we have ever, but he sees us through. It's a raging storm, but you know what the real problem is, he said? Their faith. It's not the wind, it's not the storm, it's your faith. Look at verse 40. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful, and how is it that you have no faith? After all the teaching, after walking with you, and all the after I prove to you what I can do, you still don't have faith and trust me? Why?" So their faith is the problem. It isn't the wind, it isn't the sea, it isn't the world, it isn't all the other people. I have the responsibility to exercise faith. I have a total faith in the Word of God. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I would be in this book every day. So should you. I mean, how can you live in this world and not open your Bible and say, "God, show me something from your holy word that will strengthen me, to help me to have faith in you in the midst of all of what we face. And I'm committed to the Lord." So it was their faith that was the problem. Question number 5. What purposes does God have in bringing storms into our lives? Because I know as I've been preaching, you're thinking about some of your storms. That's okay. What is the purpose of some of those storms? Now, again, I'm not saying this covers it all, but I did the best I could. I looked over a period of the last weeks for passages of Scripture that addressed storms or problems or trials to try to pick up on, "Lord, now what is it that you want me to learn? I want to know what the purpose of these storms are, so help me with these passages." So I'm going to let the Bible preach itself to you. Here's what I found. I'll give you the point, and then I will quote the passage. I found 4. So what is the purpose? What purposes does God have in bringing storms into our lives? First, to make our faith strong and pure. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Let me quote it. "These trials are only to test your faith to see whether it is strong and pure. Your faith is being tested that you may bring praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ." I have prayed this week, as I have many times, and in my prayer, I said about a particular situation, I had a number of situations, but some that were storms for sure. And I said, "Oh Lord, I know that you want to be glorified. You want praise and glory to go to you. Lord, my prayer is, would you do this for this person to work out this, etc.? Because I believe that person will give praise and glory to you." That's the kind of prayer I prayed. I think it's a biblical prayer. I'm asking him to do something, to intervene and change something. By the way, he did. Praise the Lord. He did. And that person, God bless them, texted and communicated and said, "I'll tell you, I have just praised the Lord for it." I said, "That's what I prayed you would do." And that's what I did. And I bowed my head and thanked the Lord and praised him for his answer. That's another thing that years ago I had brought to me. So many times I prayed for things. And then when it happened, I was so excited and we all rejoiced and all the rest. But I never got back on my knees and said, Lord, I want to thank you for answering that prayer. Isn't it easy for us to forget to thank him? You say, well, doesn't he know we're thankful in our heart, but you got on your knees and prayed and asked, didn't you? Why don't you get on your knees and thank him? Amen. Take that one home. I'm telling you, I do that. Look, I told you, I'm not preaching this at you. I've already preached this sermon to myself. So what purposes does God have in bringing storms into our lives? First, to make our faith strong and pure. Thank you, Lord. Second, to teach me, teach you, certain things that we could not or would not learn otherwise. Now, I'm going to give you a verse. It can be confusing at first, and I'll try to give you an explanation. Hebrews 5:8 says of Jesus Christ, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. For a long time, I just pondered that thing. Wait a minute, Jesus learned obedience? I didn't think he had to learn obedience. What does that mean? It was necessary for the incarnate Son, that is, he had become flesh, to learn obedience because he was called to obey here on earth to an extent that he had never experienced before. So he learned obedience. He was obedient, but he learned that there were certain things living here on earth. He needed to learn the obedience and submit his will to his Father because he was going to experience things he'd never experienced before. The storms in our lives teach us certain things that we might not or could not learn otherwise. Isn't it true, if I open this up for testimonies and say, okay, tell me what you went through maybe 20 years ago or maybe whenever and what you learned from it? And you will say, I'm telling you, from that point on in my life, after going through that storm, I was a different person. There you go. You learned something through the storm that you wouldn't have if you didn't have the storm. This is good stuff. I know it's my sermon, but... Okay. I know I'm transparent. I'm a little too transparent sometimes, I guess. I don't know. Okay, let's see. What purposes does God have in bringing storms into our lives? First, to make our faith strong and pure. Second, to teach us certain things that we could not learn otherwise. Number three, to increase my love, your love for God. And I know I say the same thing. But I already do love you, Lord. I mean, I've been one of your pastors for all these years. Didn't you tell your wife you loved her when you first met her? Of course. You have now lived together, served together, raised your kids together, gone through stuff together. I will tell you, I love my wife more than I ever did before. I loved her, but notice how we can increase our love. That's what God is saying. All of us here can probably love God more. Okay, I got a verse. James 1:12 says this. Blessed is the man who endures trials or tests, for when he has tried, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You say, well, don't all of his children love him? Yes, but he's going to give a crown of life. He is going to reach out in that way to those who have that deep love for Him. So it increases our love for God. And number four, we learn from these trials, it is to help us learn dependence upon God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. It's the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration. The trouble that came to us... Boy, stop right there. And you thought the Apostle Paul didn't have trouble? He just said it. The trouble that came to us in Asia... Read on. Was so that we should not trust in ourselves but God. The Apostle Paul said, we went through a whole lot of trouble because God wanted to teach us and remind us not to trust in ourselves. I mean, Paul was a man of great ability. He knew the word. God used him in a mighty way. You know all of that. But there he is saying, the trouble that came to us in Asia was so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. So, Jesus took naps. Be like Jesus and trust Him with the storms. Our Father, Your holy word today has been so precious to us. This strengthens my faith. I trust, Lord, that it strengthens the faith of everyone who is here. Help us, Lord, living in this world, not to worry about the raging sea, not to worry about the wind, not to worry about the news. Help us, Lord, simply to trust in You, because You promised You would never leave us or forsake us. And You're in the boat with us. And You're at perfect peace. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.